Broadcasting to New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Sydney, London, and around the world, this is Trumpet Radio Live.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG. A lot to talk about today. Professors telling students, if you dispute climate change, just drop out. Drop out of class. Russian surface-to-air missile coverage. There's a map showing what Russia's up to. It's pretty interesting. We'll talk about that. Also, have you ever wondered what percentage of black voters support Donald Trump? We've got the numbers for you. If they're accurate, I'm not sure. But we'll tell you what the numbers are coming up and more on this edition of Trumpet Radio Live.
This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online, kpcg.fm, live link there at thetrumpet.com as well. Trumpet Radio Live, Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon with you here today. And we were talking before the show about Tom Brady, quarterback for the New England Patriots. And you say you like Tom Brady.
Yeah, I like him. Yeah, even though he's a Buffalo Bills rival, he always destroys the Bills.
He's very successful. He's been a really good quarterback over the years. He is, I guess, famous for winning football games. He's famous for being married to that former model. I never know how to say her name. Giselle.
I think it's Giselle Bundchen.
There you go. So he's famous for that. And he showed up for a training camp with a new haircut. He always has a different haircut each year. People like to talk about that. It's kind of funny. So they had some pictures of his new haircut. And quite honestly, it looks like what a kid would have in seventh grade. Kind of a little longer on the sides, parted in the middle. It's kind of a common young guy haircut.
Well, yeah, they were comparing it to Megyn Kelly. So if you need a visual there and you know what Megyn Kelly's hair looks like, that's kind of what Tom Brady's looks like right now.
Yeah, they had this whole article about it, and which, of course, very important, I know. But humorous. So they have all these different texts that people sent talking about his haircut. And one of them says, and I told my barber, give me the Megyn Kelly. So they think his haircut looks like Megyn Kelly. And then there's a picture of Megyn Kelly from Fox News. You know what she looks like. And then there's some other ones that are pretty good here. This one says, Tom Brady ready for the first day of junior high.
He does look youthful. I mean, I don't really have too much of a problem with the hair. It's just kind of fluffed out, I guess.
It's a young guy's haircut.
Yeah.
And then a few other ones that are kind of funny. They said, are we to believe it's purely coincidence that Tom Brady keeps having the same haircuts once worn by Jonathan Taylor Thomas? He's the young kid actor that used to be on that show. What was the name of that show? Oh, now I forget. It's not much of a joke if you can't remember the name of the show.
Yeah.
Tool Time. That wasn't the name of the show, but that was the show in the show.
Mm.
The Tool Man Taylor, whatever his name was.
I don't know.
It's before your time.
There's so many of these references that I always have to go look up to get what the joke is.
Yeah.
Every time something like this happens.
Yeah. And then the last one here says, they say the barber said, what do you want? And Brady said, you know Elizabeth Warren? And the barber said, say no more. So they're kind of funny. If you know some of these personalities, you can find the pictures. And the thing that struck me the most about it was that, and I think his haircut looks fine and it's not that big of a deal, but the ones that they're making fun of him, comparing him to, they're all women with the really short haircuts.
Yeah, whose fault is that, though? I think Tom Brady's haircut looks better on him than those women's haircuts look on the women.
Yeah, just different times, different societal changes there in the hairstyle. So anyway, when it's a slow news day, which it is not, by the way, but for some outlets, they want to focus on the Tom Brady haircut. So I thought that was kind of funny, whether you're a fan or not a fan. A lot of other headlines today, more important ones than that to get to. Also, we'll preview the Key of David program on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This first headline here is from a website called The College Fix. We've been talking about some of the different universities, and there's been reports about how the students are doing, and it's always interesting to look at that and what's being taught there. This headline said, professors tell students, drop class if you dispute man-made climate change. How about that?
Yeah, actually, recently when I was up in Seattle, the Uber driver was talking to me, and he mentioned, you know, I've been here in Washington for a while, and I've seen the effects of climate change. He just kind of said it. He's a young guy. He just kind of said it like it was an absolute fact. And I didn't bring it up, but that is kind of how it is now, where it's just so widely accepted that you don't even dispute if it's a real thing.
Did he mention like what he has seen changing, what he thought the change was?
I don't know. I guess he thought that the summers were more pleasant or warm or something like that. Hmm. But I guess maybe it used to be more rainy and a little slightly more cold in the summers in Seattle, and now it's been really nice.
Well, that sounds good. Sounds like a positive change.
Yeah, I know. I don't really see the danger there.
Well, I've been here in Oklahoma for, it's been 16 years, right? So, and no 2 years have been the same exactly. It's always a little different. Some years a little colder, some years a little warmer. I think it's kind of the way it goes. But so anyway, they're really pushing this climate change, and this is what the professors are telling the students. They said, we will not at any time debate the science of climate change. That's not the point of the class. We're just going to indoctrinate you into the effects of climate change.
Yeah, I thought at one time colleges were supposed to always have every subject up for debate so that you could thoroughly prove whether a position is true. And now I guess it's, well, these are the things that we want to teach. This is our agenda. And if you have any dissent, just get out.
Yeah, there's three professors here. They're co-teaching an online course called Medical Humanities in the Digital Age. I'm sure they have to beat away the students for that class. don't even know what that means. At the University of Colorado, Colorado Springs. They recently told their students via email that man-made climate change is not open for debate, and those who think otherwise have no place in their course. So again, I mean, there is room for debate, though. That's the thing about it. We're not talking about math. We're not talking about, you know, 2 plus 2 is 4. Not a lot of debate there. There is a lot of room for debate in this topic, and that would make the course much more interesting and, I think, helpful.
Right. I think climate change, that is kind of a complicated issue. I mean, I know that some things that men do can impact the environment. I mean, certain industries can, but to say that it's the number one threat to human survival or that we're destroying the entire earth, those things are highly debatable and things that we should be talking about.
Well, right, and so much attention is put on those topics where they ignore much more serious and immediate threats, like letting Iran go hog wild with their nuclear program. That's a more serious issue, but no one wants to talk about that. They want to talk about climate change. This email said, the point of departure for this course is based on the scientific premise that human-induced climate change is valid and occurring. We will not at any time debate the science of climate change, nor will the other side of the climate change debate be taught or discussed in this course. So there you go. Closed door. I mean, what kind of an education is that?
That's interesting. Here at Herbert W. Armstrong College, we have a certain set of beliefs, but there are also classes that do show what other religions believe and different viewpoints, and so that you can actually have an understanding of everything that's going on and choose for yourself based on proof. If you're so sure you're right, you should not be afraid of the other side.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. Yeah, prove it out. Now, I know they'd come back and say, you know, science proves it, but that's thrown out there pretty loosely. And in most cases, it's intimidating for people because, well, what are you, a scientist? You know, well, no, so you don't know anything. Get out of here. Yeah. And they intimidate people that way.
Right. I think science, there's a lot of room for debate in that entire subject. The same thing is said about evolution, too. Well, it's so easy to prove. Okay, show us a single non-fraudulent link in the chain between this species to the next, and you can't produce a single one.
Yeah, so that's kind of the state of education today in a lot of cases, in a lot of different courses. They say in this email to conclude, if you believe this premise to be an issue for you, this idea that climate change is absolute and there's nothing, no debate in there, they say, we respectfully ask that you do not take this course as there are options within the humanities programs for face-to-face this semester and online next. So find a different class. We're not interested. I've never really seen a class be so closed door as this and be that open about it.
Right. You were saying they're probably not having to take beat students away from that class.
Yeah.
So the three students taking it online said, well, I guess I'm out then. I wanted to have an open mind, and now they have no students.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of young people saying, boy, I just can't fall asleep tonight. I'm so excited for the first day of medical humanities in the digital age.
It's just too long of a title even to start there.
Yeah, it's just I would recommend changing it.
Right.
Changing the title to something like climate change. Like, that would be a good name for the class.
Because that's just
what it's about.
That's a divisive topic anyway. Yeah.
But you were waiting for more, I know. But that was it. It's climate change. That's our class.
Medical climate change, it's true or else.
Medical humanities in the digital age. There you go. So if you're taking that course, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, you know, how hard would... I don't even know why you'd bother taking it. If you just want to hear what they have to say and take it at face value, you can just Google it. Google climate change and give me the credit. I'll move on. But they don't get paid that way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They have to get paid.
So interesting to see some of those things happening in different universities. Not a good thing. Whenever you have, you know, this is closed for debate, forget it. What we say is law. That's not a good way to go. There's an interesting one from and this ties into a few stories we have later, too. This is from the IB Times, co.uk. Democratic Party tactics for dealing with Black Lives Matter leaked by hacker. So the infamous hacker, Guccifer 2.0. What happened to Guccifer 1.0?
I don't know. That was an incredible name that they came up with there.
People think that it's somebody from Russia doing it, but I don't know for sure. In any event, this is an interesting document because the Democratic Party sat down and said, look, there's this Black Lives Matter thing going on. Here's how we're going to deal with it. And so it's interesting to kind of go through some of this and then listen to what some of the leaders say. And they're following the memo. I mean, they're following it exactly. And the question is, okay, do they really care about this movement or are they just using it? And I think you'll see they're just using it.
Wow, that's a really incredible leak. So you said the documents have already come out?
They have, yeah.
Wow.
It's an internal memo reportedly hacked from the personal computer of Nancy Pelosi. So they went right to the top.
Yeah, she's a pretty big name there. And that is a good question because I always wondered, well, do these people even care about the situation of Black people in this country? And are they just purposely overlooking its designation as a domestic terrorist group? Because the Democratic side really is supporting Black Lives Matter pretty openly, and their convention showed that. So where are they getting their information from?
Right. They say that this shows officials that were briefed on how to respond to the Black Lives Matter movement, including tactics on how to answer questions by activists. So they're all playing by the same rules here. The document reportedly authored in November last year by a staffer called Troy Perry states that Democratic Party candidates and members should never use the phrases all lives matter nor mention black on black crime as they are viewed as, quote, red herring attacks and will garner attentional media media scrutiny and only anger Black Lives Matter activists. So they're not interested in getting to the bottom of anything or the truth. They just want to appease that side, get them on their side, so they can't say all lives matter or black on black crime.
Right. So basically avoid triggering the entire mob. All lives matter. That is a fact.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
I mean, that should not offend anyone if they're in their right mind. And what was the other one you said?
They can't talk about black on black crime. It is forbidden.
That's far more common than the occasional shooting of a black criminal by police.
Right. So under the, there's a title, What to Say to Media. So they want to all say the same thing to the media. Obviously, they're going to say some generalities here. They should say, and these are quotes, that they want to rebuild the relationship between police and community and explore reforms to ensure officers are properly trained and don't infringe on citizens' rights. That sounds pretty good.
You know how offensive that must be to police officers? Oh, so this whole time we weren't properly trained, and
right.
In that case in Milwaukee, oh, this black man is about to shoot me, so I'll shoot him first.
Right.
Yeah, that was the wrong choice. Are you telling me I don't have any kind of right judgment at all?
Yeah. It's just interesting. I mean, these things are so coordinated in terms of the way the party deals with these topics. And it really gets into what we'll talk about for the Trump Daily Radio Show too, or Stephen Fleury today talks about just the spirit of lying that is so prevalent. None of this is true. It's not, I mean, it's not like people are getting up there as a candidate, let's say, and telling you what they honestly think. They're just reading off of the script, and they can't mention, you know, how can you solve the problems in the inner cities if you can't even mention black on black crime, or you can't even say that, look, everybody matters here. How can you solve it? You can't, and they're not even trying to.
Yeah, it's impossible. And the fact that they have a memo that they have to read off of just shows that no one's able to speak the truth. If you are confident in what the truth of the matter is, you don't have to stick to a script for fear of overstepping the bounds. And yet all these people are reading off of a script, just basically empty platitudes that they have no intention of backing up.
Right, and it's exactly the same thing as what we just read about with that university story, where it's like, if you don't agree with this class, don't sign up. You could not be a member of the Democratic Party and say, look, I just don't agree with where this is going. You'd be gone.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because they're not going to hear it. They have one initiative, and that's to get in power by any means necessary, and which most people do. I'm not saying it's just one party over the other. But they're not looking for the truth. Mm-hmm. They're just looking to appease people and push their agendas.
Right, and both the liberal educators and a lot in the Democratic Party are pretty much free of independent thought anymore. They don't really think on their own. They're given taglines and different phrases to use, and even the way you see that they attack Donald Trump, repeatedly calling him a bigot and a hater of all Muslims and things like that. Well, you know, that's great that you can throw out those things that I could have said when I was five,
right.
But where is your proof of it?
And they probably got it off of another memo we just haven't seen yet.
Probably.
So, but anyway, this memo that they hacked, they said that in the memo it said, don't share this information with anybody unless it's face-to-face or over the phone, because they didn't want it to get hacked. But it got hacked anyway. So
they still wrote it down on a memo.
Still did.
Even originally, they should have just spoken that all face-to-face.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just interesting to see how it goes. It's not surprising, I guess. But still, it's interesting to see like the actual memo that they sent. So pretty interesting that you can read the rest of that at ibtimes.co.uk. Democratic Party tactics for dealing, quote, with Black Lives Matter leaked by hacker. One other thing they said in there was that if Black Lives Matter people wanted to meet with Democratic representatives, that they should say, yeah, sure, and just listen to them, okay. And they're playing a game, you know. They said don't make it seem like you're taking their movement. They want the movement, but just treat them this way. I mean, don't they know they're being played here?
They should. And the politicians, they should be offering solutions. They should have the right to say, well, look, you're wrong in this area. Here are the facts that say otherwise. But when it's all about the votes and you need that entire huge group of the country to vote for you so that you can win the upcoming election, well, you're not going to tell them they're doing anything wrong. You want them on your side still.
Right. Yeah, it's like having a little kid in a grocery store. You don't want to have a temper tantrum. So, I'll give you whatever you want.
Yeah.
I'll listen to you.
That's exactly what's happening right now.
That's all it is. Yep. Here's an interesting write-up, too. This is from Defense Tech, detailing Russian surface-to-air missile coverage. This has been in the news recently because Iran has one of their missile systems protecting one of their nuclear sites. It says the Institute for the Study of War, a Washington, D.C.-based think tank, has released an informational graphic highlighting Russia's increasing surface-to-air missile coverage in Europe. And they're all over the place. They're covering a lot of area there. You can see this graphic at Defense Tech. It says the graphic released Monday details the Russian military deployment of their S-300 and S-400 surface-to-air missiles, or SAM, if you prefer that. Sam doesn't sound as scary to me.
Not at all.
Not only within Russia and Kaliningrad, the Russian city in a territory between Poland and Lithuania, but also Crimea and areas encircling the Ukraine, even Latakia, Syria. So they've got quite a few deployed here, and there's this map. You can see it. I'll let you take a look at that, Grant. And you can just see this whole area that they're covering. They basically are covering a large section of the Middle East, almost the entire Middle East, and then, of course, Western Russia, and which is, you know, of course, bordering right there on the Eastern Europe. So they've kind of got that whole area covered with their S-300 and S-400 deployments. And those S-400 deployments, they have a confirmed range of 250 kilometers, unconfirmed range of 400 kilometers. And the S-300 have a range of 150 to 200 kilometers. So once you get up to the S-400, it just goes further. But they can cover really a wide range of area there. So they're making their presence known in the Middle East and Eastern Europe, and certainly, of course, in Russia, obviously.
Yeah, the map there actually looks a lot like the old Iron Curtain, how it's all up and down the entire bit of Eastern Europe and out throughout the Middle East there. They're taking over again, and we can't just trick ourselves by saying that war doesn't exist anymore. They are prepared to defend their territory, or to even say we're defending our territory when they just want to take a little bit more territory that's not theirs yet.
Yeah, they're really expanding. It'd be interesting to see this graphic in relation to where they were, say, 5 years ago. That would be an interesting thing to look at. They didn't do that, so we don't have that. But it would be interesting to see. And they are covering areas that are, some areas are NATO areas. Some are in that kind of non-NATO region. Again, there are really a lot of coverage there with those S-400 and S-300 systems. It was interesting because yesterday I was talking about the this write-up in the Christian Science Monitor, where they were kind of downplaying Russia's ability and saying, well, you know, I don't know that we need to worry about them militarily. It was in response to a high-ranking military official in the U.S. saying, you got to pay attention to Russia. It's pretty serious. And then they were like, no, we don't think it's quite that bad. And this highlights how serious it is, I think.
Well, remember when Mitt Romney was running in the presidential election in 2012 against President Obama, and he was scoffed at for saying that Russia is the biggest threat to America. I believe that's what he said. That's quickly becoming pretty close to the truth. I mean, they're more aggressive than ever. Say whatever you want to about Vladimir Putin, but he is practical, and he does know that you should defend your own nation, which here it seems like we're not too aware of anymore.
Yeah, and if you look at this map, I mean, the deployment that they have in Kaliningrad, that they can almost reach Berlin from there. Like, it's not that far away. And so Europe's going to be paying attention to Russia. I'm sure they already are, because they're right on their doorstep. So pretty interesting map. You can see the rest of that if you want to. It's Defense Tech, and they've got that graphic there. Sometimes graphics are pretty cool. They can show you what's going on. And in this case, I think it just shows you how Russia has expanded westward in a way that sometimes it's hard to get from just reading. You see this graphic, it really highlights it, I think. Interesting story. Now we have a couple from the Of Course This Is Happening segment, where there are stories that are a little bit on the bizarre side. This headline at first is shocking, but then you'll understand in a minute. Vladimir Putin was arrested in a Florida supermarket. This happened. But it's not that Vladimir Putin.
Oh, okay.
There's another gentleman whose name is actually Vladimir Putin, and he was arrested in a Florida supermarket. West Palm Beach supermarket on Monday, according to CNN. He's a black man, which is, he does not look anything like the white Vladimir Putin that we're used to. Which I thought would be awkward if they had like a Vladimir Putin, you know, get together day. Everyone named Vladimir Putin show up. This guy would not fit in. He was found, this Vladimir Putin, the Florida Vladimir Putin, was found screaming at employees at a Publix grocery store, but he's not the former KGB agent turned Russian authoritarian leader. He's different. This Vladimir Putin happens to be from the state of Florida. When police arrived at the scene, Putin told them he had missed his ride, which they point out would never happen to the actual Vladimir Putin. according to the report, he didn't want to give his name, and he resisted arrest. But they were able to apprehend him. So Vladimir Putin taken care of down there in the Florida region.
That's so funny. Yeah, he would definitely. That's definitely not a name you would expect for a black person.
Well, either. And the picture of his mugshot, I mean, he has got dreadlocks and...
So he didn't get a name change to get his name like that?
No, I don't. It'll be interesting to see if they report more on this. Like, is that his real name, or did he just hear it and pick it, you know? Because I think from what I could tell, it seemed like he was kind of homeless, or things aren't going great for this fellow. I think he's about 21. He's a young guy. just kind of out there. So who knows if that's his actual name? I can't see how that would be his actual name. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there would be a whole lot of Vladimir Putins in the world, especially not in this part of the world.
So anyway, I saw the headline. And I was like, "What? That can't be right." And then,
what's he doing here? How did he get here?
No one knew. And how did they arrest him for what? Yeah. So that was kind of a somewhat of a funny story, I guess. Not funny for that guy, but I suppose if the Kremlin's doing Google searches on Vladimir Putin every day to see what people are saying, that one probably threw him off a little bit. The real Vladimir Putin might have had a chuckle over that one today, over there in Russia somewhere. So that one was kind of interesting. This one, again, we talked the other day about social media, that girl that was, they were looking for her in Australia. Police wanted her, and she said, could you use a better mugshot of me on Facebook? Well, people just, I don't know, they just don't really think about what they're doing with social media. Three women took a trip from Australia. They're from Canada originally. They took a trip from Australia, a cruise, back to the U.S., and they took pictures of it. It's all over Instagram, and it was this great vacation. Oh, one other point. They were transporting $30 million of cocaine.
was that in the background of their pictures?
They were trying to smuggle it into the U.S., and so they put pictures of themselves all over Instagram having this fun and exciting vacation. Somehow the authorities figured out they were up to no good and were able to just follow their magical vacation, and then went into their belongings and discovered duffel bags full of cocaine.
Well, I mean, they could have made a lot of money, but now they're going to be seeing a lot of the inside of a prison.
Yeah. I don't know. I was thinking maybe they did it to try to seem normal. like, hey, this is what I would normally do, so I'm gonna try not to, draw attention to myself, but they drew way too much attention to themselves, and it turns out they were smuggling all of this stuff. So I just think a lot of times people don't think about the social media, and you always hear stories about how if you post a lot on social media, I mean, anybody can grab that information. Sometimes they can use it against you, identity theft, all of that, but even with criminals. But a lot of times criminals aren't the smartest folks, and then they're putting all their business up for everybody to see.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty hilarious. I actually saw a couple social media blunders that were pretty embarrassing. There was one, I think it was a young girl who got her first debit card, and she took a picture of it and put it on social media. And a guy responded to her, "Oh, that's awesome. You should take a picture of the backside of the card too. Like where the security right. code is." And then all he needed was both pictures, and he could buy anything he wanted to online, presumably.
That's unbelievable. I would imagine, and they probably already have this, but if they don't, this is a really good idea for somebody. Start like a class for people, like social media 101. Don't do this. Don't take a picture of your credit card or your debit card and send it out, because they're going to steal your numbers.
Yeah.
Common sense, but there are obviously people that just never thought of it.
Right. I think a lot of time on social media, you can learn way more than you actually want to about other people, and some of that information is probably top secret and should never be shared, but the people sharing it have no idea what they're doing.
There's a really interesting story. I haven't seen it, but somebody was telling me about it, about how much information Google or Facebook or any of these companies have about people. Just the common guy, the common user or common lady that doesn't even maybe use it a lot, but just a little bit, like how much information they have. And a lot of it's public record. They know your address. They know your spending habits. They know your mortgage. They know just about everything about everybody. And then if you're giving more information, well, there you go. I mean, you're known. Everything about you is known more than you probably want or realize.
Yeah, they're rubbing their hands together. They're cackling with glee because people are just giving away this information that they shouldn't.
Well, it's always kind of creepy, I think, when if you're on the internet and you go and you look up something. I want to buy a kid's bike. So you Google kids bikes, and then the next time you get on the internet, they've got all the ads for everything related to what you just looked for. And I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah, I know. It's like, no, I don't want to buy another kid's bike. That's taken care of. I won't need to do that for another 5 years. So please stop with all the ads.
They know.
They always know.
Targeted advertising. They know what what you're interested in. They send you stuff about it. So it's always a little strange. But so anyway, those are a couple of the stories that, of course, they're happening. I can imagine the first story there with Vladimir Putin. I can imagine the police call, could you, we need some backup. We've got, you know, Vladimir Putin down here at the grocery store.
He's resisting arrest. And then they're like, well, we don't want to come there. He probably has a lot of firepower behind him.
Should we send the FBI? Who should go down and take care of this guy? Pretty interesting story down there. The Key of David program's coming up here in a bit on KPCG. One of the stories today is Holy Roman Empire newspaper headline, really important to program. And there's a new one coming out pretty soon about that same sort of topic, the Holy Roman Empire. If you don't know much about that, we've got a great book at trumpet.com on the history of the Holy Roman Empire. It's basically a European power there. They've done a lot over the years, a lot of bad over the years, and they're reforming now. And so that's happening. And this particular Key of David program talks about newspaper headlines. It used to be something that Herbert Armstrong talked about, like this will happen in the future. The Holy Roman Empire coming together again. And now people are talking about it in newspaper headlines. Nothing to do with the Bible, just paying attention to history and what's happening on the ground today.
And they're saying that we should have the Holy Roman Empire make a comeback, even though leaders of the Holy Roman Empire include Charlemagne and Napoleon, who killed countless people, and even most recently Adolf Hitler. So that is a history that you shouldn't really want nations to follow.
Yeah, but there's so much unrest over there in Germany, and there was a write-up yesterday we were talking about how what happens next to Germany if Merkel doesn't get reelected for, I think it's her fourth term, and there's a lot of indication that she won't be back. And if that happens, they say, well, what's next? You know, who's the next person that comes along, and how do they deal with the migrant crisis? And so there's a lot happening with that. Make sure you listen for this Key of David program. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host Stephen Fleury today from Edstone, England. Really great program today. It takes a look at the spirit behind the lying that we see running rampant in politics and the complicit media, and he goes through some examples. And I think at one point he almost is kind of speechless because you just read some of the media reports about how politicians have lied, but they're trying to kind of cover it up, and you shake your head.
Mm-hmm.
It's just lying. You know, everybody's lying. Everybody knows that everybody's lying. And yet it just keeps happening, and nothing's done about it. It just becomes to the point where you almost have nothing to say because it's just so outrageous.
Yeah, I heard recently that the mainstream media has something like a 6% trust rating among the general public. And Fox News, I'm not sure if they're really considered part of the mainstream media because they do have more conservative pieces on there. But they're by far out, you know, getting more viewers than CNN and MSNBC. So it seems like people are starting to wake up to the media hordes that are just trying to indoctrinate them with the liberal agenda.
Yeah, they're not good at the media is not good at hiding what they're doing. And they even come out. We've talked about some of the stories recently where they come out and they admit it and they say, well, you know, we're not going to play by the rules because we're going to do all we can to make sure, you know, our candidate gets into office. People know that, I think. Some do, and it's irritating. And that's what gives rise to guys like this Alex Jones guy that's out there. I mean, Hillary Clinton actually addressed him.
He got a lot more followers then.
Gave him some actual notoriety where he was kind of this conspiracy theorist blogger or whatever you'd call him. And I think he says some pretty wild stuff, but he does at least get into the fray on some things where other media won't get into it, and so he is getting some attention to the extent now that even Hillary Clinton had to address him.
It's amazing that people are turning to conspiracy theorists. I mean, a lot of the things he's known for are conspiracy theories, and until recently, those types of websites would be for your niche groups that kind of were off in the corner anyway. Now, half the country's trying to check out those sites.
Yeah, we've got a better one for you. Check out thetrumpet.com.
There you go.
Get rid of the conspiracy theory part of it. Get into the truth of what's going to happen, and that's a much better option for you. So check out thetrumpet.com and listen for this Trumpet Daily radio show with your host, Stephen Fleury. That's coming up here in just a little bit on KPCG. And if you can't catch it live or one of the replays, you can always get the archive at kpcg.fm. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look at the numbers. Donald Trump. How much of the black vote is he going to get? We'll find out right after this. Trumpet Radio Live on 101.3 KPCG.
We'll be right back to Trumpet Radio Live.
Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG is produced by the Philadelphia Church of God. The Philadelphia Church of God offers a library of free educational literature, including the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. The Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course compares current events to the Holy Bible. The course includes 36 lessons focusing on Christian living, history, and prophecy. For more information, visit thetrumpet.com.
Thanks for joining us on Trumpet Radio Live here, 101.3 KPCG, online at kpcg.fm. You can find the live link at thetrumpet.com, too, if you'd like to do that. And if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, please do that, at kpcgfm. And emails, any sort of emails you'd like to send into us, comments at kpcg.fm. We'll be happy to take a look at those for you. And thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. I had to keep track of what day it was. They move fast. The week always moves fast. So here we are on the Wednesday edition. Dwight Falk and Grant Turgeon with you here. And, you know, sometimes we kind of laugh about the media over in North Korea because every time one of the leaders in North Korea has an election or Iran or somewhere, they always get 100% of the vote usually. And it's like, amazing, 100% turnout, 100% of the vote, and as if anyone's going to believe that. Well, here you go. This is the opposite side now. Donald Trump is likely, they say, to have literally 0% of the black vote. That's the report here, according to Rachel Maddow.
Of MSNBC.
MSNBC.
So you might think that is their slant. They do have a liberal leaning on that TV network. But it says here, dogged by allegations of racism and bigotry. Which, by the way, you can't get a single person who calls him a racist or a bigot to explain something specific he said
right. That
would back that up. Donald Trump has long struggled to connect with black voters, but a recent push by his campaign to reach out to the African-American community had some supporters hopeful. So, how's Donald's outreach going? Not great. Extremely not great. So it says that on her Monday show, Rachel Maddow unveiled from public policy polling that Trump has a 0% favorability rating among black voters. Zero, none, nothing, zip.
Wow. Now, is that her just calling her friends and asking?
Probably.
Is that where she got the numbers from?
No one, not a single black person in all of America is going to ever vote for Donald Trump.
and as if anyone's going to believe that. You could put any candidate out there with any message, and they're going to get somebody to vote for him. You see, I mean, that happens all the time. So to say that there's going to be no votes, that's more of like leading, you know, like, hey, by the way, there'll be no votes, so make sure you don't vote for him. That's all that is. And I don't care if they vote for him or not. It makes no difference to me. But it's just ridiculous to say something like that. Zero? You've polled, you know, everybody in America, and they're not, no one. By the way, she has the same haircut as Tom Brady, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, hers is actually, it could be shorter. I think hers is even shorter than his, which is incredible. Yeah.
Now, and of course, if you've ever seen her, she's, you know, her thing is to be pretty inflammatory and to be pretty loud, I guess, outspoken about her viewpoint and that type of thing. But these numbers cannot be accurate on any level. It might be low, but zero, that just can't be.
Yeah, it just depends on where they got their respondents from. It says that 97% had an unfavorable view of Trump, and a whopping 3% were undecided.
Well, there you go. How can that be zero if three percent are undecided?
Exactly, and it's interesting because based on so many Trump rallies and a lot of different videos I've seen, there are always a lot of black people who are out there to support him. I would guess in the hundreds of thousands, if not a million or more, who would support Donald Trump.
There have been, I've seen plenty of stories or even interviews with people that are in this country, that are in the U.S., that are Hispanic, that support him as well, because they are here legally, and they say, well, that we want that. We don't want to be thrown in with just the huge influx. We want it to be done legally because, you know, they have a life, they're building a life for them and their children, and they don't want to see that just, you know, opened up to the floodgates. That they want to see it happen legally. So there are plenty of people that do support more of a conservative, even, I mean, when we say conservative, I mean, I guess conservative in terms of just the immigration policy, if nothing else, that do support that are of different races besides white people.
Yeah, I was watching a video clip from one of the liberal TV networks recently, and they had a black Trump supporter on there talking about how we need to get past all of the division that we've seen stirred up recently by the current administration. And it cuts back to the anchor on the show, and her face is really stiff. And she said, well, that's not generally a description of how most black people in this country think. He is a rarity here.
Yeah. She was quickly going through her memos to say, well, how do I handle this?
I didn't know that there would be a single one. Yeah. Based on Rachel Maddow's show, I thought that there'd be no one supporting him.
They didn't vet him before they interviewed him, apparently. They didn't know what his viewpoint was.
I guess not.
Yeah, it's really dangerous. It's dangerous media. It's irresponsible media because I cannot recall an election that was so divided. Where usually, if one side wins, the other side says, "Well, okay, that wasn't our preference, but we'll see if we can work together here a little bit." But now it's like everything is so, nobody can vote for him or nobody can vote for her, on either side of it, and it's so divisive. There's gonna be some really upset folks come election day.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's so much talk of diversity today, and yet we expect to herd every race in whatever direction. Oh, all black people have to vote Democrat. All rich white people have to vote Republican. That just shows you there's no diversity of thought. It's just people following around people who were most like them and not really educating themselves on the issues. And this Rachel Maddow show, to add to your point about her being inflammatory, I guess she talks about how this poll asked black respondents to compare Trump to a number of time-tested irritants, including airplane middle seats, personal injury lawyers, and the bubonic plague. All of these things, even Ryan Lochte, polled higher than Trump. That's bad.
Well, I would lump all of that into I would call it pseudo intellectualism. Like they're so proud of themselves for making these wisecracks, but there's nothing. It's just it's childish, and it's divisive, and it's not. For as much as they talk about wanting to accept all kinds of people and ideologies and everything, that's not the case. That's about as divisive as you can be. And so, he has not one point that you might agree with, nothing, completely wrong in every imaginable way. It's just, that's just so extreme.
Yeah, there's not hardly any logic right now. It's as if saying that we should enforce immigration law means that we're a racist against everyone coming across the border, when all that means is that those people can't flood in. If I went over to an African or a European nation, and I decided to just disappear and hang out there for a while, and then all the people around me started to know that I was there illegally, I would expect to get deported. I wouldn't have any problem with it because I would know I was doing something wrong. And yet we're acting like Donald Trump. I've heard him compared to Adolf Hitler. It's unbelievable how just enforcing the nation's immigration law can be so offensive to someone. That shouldn't even be part of the campaign. Both sides should totally agree with enforcing the current laws.
Yeah, and that really just gets back to the point of the Trump Daily Radio Show today with Stephen Fleury. It's just a time of lies. It's just lies. Throwing out stuff like this. No, nobody would vote for him within a certain race, or he's more irritating than a middle airplane seat. You are left almost speechless, like, oh, okay, well, I don't know. Just unbelievable. Well, it'll be interesting to see what the actual vote numbers are if we ever really find out that, because I'm sure it won't be zero.
And I'm definitely looking forward to the debates between Trump and Clinton, because I think it's going to swing a lot of people. I mean, hopefully everyone actually, if they're going to vote, they actually watch instead of just ignorantly following whatever they've been told.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's so painful you almost don't want to watch them, but at the same time you kind of do want to watch them. Now, if they were actually kind of getting into some policy and stuff, that could be kind of interesting, but it usually just descends to name-calling and laughing.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, of course, Vice President Joe Biden, when he was debating Paul Ryan, he just laughed. That was his comeback for everything, just to laugh and shake his head.
That's stuff that anyone could do. It takes no research and no skill, no political acumen to just laugh at the other person's side the entire time.
Right. So pretty interesting. Right up there, they say no one's going to – literally 0% of black voters will vote for Donald Trump. Literally, in case you were
– literally. That's a millennial term too.
Yeah.
Saying literally for no reason. Figuratively is the word that you need to actually use. Right. Literally is redundant.
Yeah, everybody's heard somebody say, I am literally starving right now.
Really?
Because they, you know, 10 minutes late for lunch or whatever. It's like, yeah. No, you're not. This is an interesting write-up. We have one more here that kind of ties in with all of this. Sometimes the media, like you were mentioning, they get caught in a pickle to where they're like, they have this narrative and yet, ooh, it didn't quite work out the way we thought. And now we got to backtrack. Colin Kaepernick, right? The quarterback for the 49ers, I assume, assuming he makes a team still.
Probably shouldn't at this point. He was already terrible, and now he's dividing the entire country based on his stupid stance.
Yeah, he hasn't won himself a lot of friends and fans. Some of the media jumped on board, said, oh, yeah, he's great and all this. But then they got caught because what happened was Kaepernick came out and said he was against, of course, the Star Spangled Banner. Went after Donald Trump. They all applauded, and they said, yeah, and Hillary Clinton, too. And they're like, what now? So this is from CNN. This is very predictable. A guy by the name of Clay Kane, he writes, the title is, I was on board with Kaepernick until... ... And before I even read it, I'm like, oh, I bet it's a Hillary Clinton comment.
Definitely. Yep. Yeah, no doubt about it.
And that's exactly what it is. He says this bit here. He says, he talks about Kaepernick's comments, and he agrees with them, and rah, rah, rah. But then he says, but here is where Kaepernick lost me. His remarks to the press segued into a rant of the type you hear from the conservative right.
Oh
boy. He said, I mean, you have Hillary, who's called black teens or black kids super predators. You have Donald Trump, who's openly racist, again, just throwing out all kinds of terms. He says, I mean, we have a presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, who's deleted emails and done things illegally and is a presidential candidate. That doesn't make sense to me, because if that was any other person, you'd be in prison.
Ooh. It's interesting, too, because Hillary has actually used the term super predators. Then he calls Trump overtly racist, but doesn't say anything that he's actually said.
Right. And so then the author, Clay Kane, comes back and says, to lump Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump in the same category is wrong, offensive, and uninformed. Well, could you inform us? Well, of course he can. He says, Trump isn't even in the same category as former President George W. Bush and then some other people. He isn't a Republican or even a conservative. He's a rich, famous, alleged businessman who has money to burn in a disturbing case of narcissism. Oh, so he knows everything about this guy.
It's incredible.
He knows everything about him. It's amazing. He just sits there and he just knows everything. He says, it's irresponsible for Kaepernick to insinuate that Clinton should be in jail with words that skirt close to the shouts of lock her up from the crowd during Governor Chris Christie's remarks at the Republican National Convention.
That was a great speech.
It was a good speech, actually. It says, after months of investigation into whether charges should be brought against Clinton for her use of a private email server, the FBI Director James Comey said, our judgment is that no reasonable prosecutor would bring such a case. Well, even there, he didn't say it shouldn't be brought. He just said, well.
Would.
And that's talked about on the Trump Daily Radio Show as well. That's the whole thing with that email deal. It's just ridiculous. There's a lot of write-ups about it. So then notice this. This journalist says, we should trust the FBI. He says, I believe they know more about Clinton's emails than Kaepernick's. In addition, Clinton has owned her mistakes.
No.
When did that happen?
She said she's short-circuited.
Yeah. So he says Donald Trump owns nothing. He believes he is flawless, appearing to make grudging concessions of regret only once. Apparently in his whole life. He's gone through the transcripts of his entire life, and he found one instance. Pull up the transcripts there of that conversation when he was six. So anyway, he goes on and on and on, and we don't need to beat the dead horse here, I guess. But it's so typical where they got caught because they like that anti-U.S., anti-Trump sentiment, and then he said something about Hillary Clinton. But they can't have that. Mm-hmm. And so they've got to come up with this propaganda now.
Wow. Yeah. He's got it all wrong to say that disrespecting the American flag that so many people have died for is where he agreed with Colin Kaepernick. I mean, imagine, we've seen a lot of people recently, even during this election cycle, stomping on and spitting on the American flag. Is that really what we think the founders would have wanted? Is that what we think any soldier would have ever wanted? And yet that's what we support supposedly with free speech, as if these enraged idiots have a right to do that. And then the part that we disagree with is that Hillary should be in prison.
Well, it's interesting here in this last little bit of this write-up where he says, this author, again, this is from CNN, where in the title is, I was on board with Kaepernick until. He says he's trying to support the case for Hillary Clinton here, and he says during the primary, she was protested by Black Lives Matter. Her response, she met with representatives. Oh, well, that's great, but that's exactly what the memo told her to do. We just read that memo in the beginning of the show.
Right.
They have a plan. Oh, I meet with them, you know, listen to them, and then just move on. She met with them. Well, yeah, of course. That's what the memo says.
No solutions. It's just a robotic following of the decree. And this is pretty much, this guy might have actually reached the pinnacle of lazy journalism, because the only two things he had to look up in that entire article were the direct quotes from Kaepernick and James Comey. He just copy and paste them into the article. Everything else, just spew your opinion.
That's exactly what it was. Everything else was just what he thought about it, and just throwing stuff out there, just making it up. And
no facts to even back his opinion up.
No, just terrible. And so and he had this photo up there, this guy, and he couldn't be more than late 20s, early 30s. So it's not like he's got some great life experience he's drawing on here. He's just regurgitating what he knows he has to. He's probably following a memo he got from somebody.
Right.
Oh, make sure you say this today.
A lot of those articles sound the exact same.
Yeah. There's no, again, it gets back to exactly what is talked about on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show today. Nobody cares about the truth. They're not looking for, like, the facts and what is actually happening. They, you know, the funny thing about this Colin Kaepernick is that, for as I think inappropriate as his actions and comments were, he did hit on something that was sort of accurate, mm-hmm. and that is, yeah, something's not right here in this process.
Right.
But they weren't comfortable with that statement, and so they've got to come out and kind of attack that now.
They have it completely backwards. It's pretty amazing how Hillary Clinton has done things that any average person on the street would have been arrested for, and she hasn't. And for him to point that out, that's where he's wrong. But to disrespect the flag is yeah. where he's right.
Well, and even there, I mean, this author said something about, you know, how he, you know, just making these assumptions, and he doesn't know what he's saying about her. Well, he said a lot of stuff that was assumptions, and he didn't know what he was saying about the police. And nobody jumped on that.
Right.
They were absolutely incorrect, mm-hmm. and everybody knows that. But yet, again, it just highlights that they're all in the bag for whatever the agenda is there with some of these websites and some of these news outlets. And again, that's why it's so important to go to thetrumpet.com. There's not a bias there except for what's the truth and what does the Bible say. I know some people don't like that, but that's where else are you going to go for truth these days?
That's definitely the only place you can look. Yeah, in the case of Colin Kaepernick, whenever he was talking, it is also the job of the media to call a guy out if he's spewing nonsense. Some journalists should have said, well, wait a second, what about the fact that more white men are shot by police than black men in this country, despite blacks committing a higher percentage of the crimes? There are a lot of facts that would contradict this supposed war on black people. I mean, I have nothing against black people, but the facts state the exact opposite of what all these rioters are trying to say.
Well, and that's supposed to be the job of the media, is to present the facts.
Yeah, you can't just let a guy talk like that. If you're interviewing him, you have to say, well, what about this and what about this, and really make him flesh out his opinion.
Yeah, so it's pretty interesting to see the media's response to some of these different things, like the election and the comments. They're building their narrative. That's the time in which we're in. It's narrative building and making a story, and instead of getting to the facts of things. So that's talked about a lot more today on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Just some really, really good information. And again, it's almost befuddling sometimes the way the stories are presented in the media. It's just unbelievable. So make sure you listen for that Trumpet Daily Radio Show, also the Key of David program. And being Wednesday, the Trumpet Hour program is coming up here in a little bit on KPCG as well. If you can't catch it live or catch a replay, go ahead and check out the archives. Those are online at kpcg.fm. That'll do it for us on Trumpet Radio Live today. Myself, Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your Wednesday, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.